Hello and welcome to another episode of Talk Nintendo Podcast. This is episode 316, and I am greeting you first, and my name is Perry Burkham, and I am accompanied, as always, as of a year ago, or-ish, the man from Boston, the most beautiful boy from Boston, the gangsta magic himself, Balax Bulafi.
He's a beautiful boy from Boston, and his name is Balax Bulafi.
Very good. How's it going, Bal?
I'm good. I'm singing because I'm wiped doing very last-minute wedding prep, so This is something I'm kind of trying to jolt some energy back into me as we record for an hour.
Like you're delirious.
A little bit, because like it's every day, it's 30 emails sending between various people. I did my schedule today for groomsmen. I had to go to Jose Bank to get my tie and suspenders. I didn't get my suit from there, of course, but
you didn't get your suit from there, did you?
No. Jose Bank is like slightly better Men's Warehouse, which is not a compliment. But no, right. I had mine made. I had a local small business tailor do it. I'm gonna look nice in my suit. I'm getting it dry clean now, and then it's like gotta do this and this and this plan and this plan, and then all that stuff is stacked on top of the fact that I'm also getting married in 4 days as of this recording, 3 as Thursday. Wow. And like It's I don't know if you felt the same way, and I'm guessing we had like sort of different weddings or whatever, but for me it's like so excited to be married, so excited to be in husband mode, right?
Oh yeah.
But it's like it's the party itself and like planning the party, and we have a coordinator, so it's not like a nightmare, but it's just all the stress that comes with that that's like driving me insane. As we get closer.
When Jill and I got engaged, we said, let's just not stress at all about the wedding at all. Like, I was just like, let's just make it a point to not stress about it. And I wasn't stressed one bit besides 2 days before we realized, oh, wait, we're getting married in Nebraska and not Iowa. Mm-hmm. And I don't have a marriage license for Nebraska. And so, but luckily it was easy. But that was one thing we stressed about. Otherwise, I didn't stress one bit. It was great.
I feel like that's crazy? So it would be crazy for anyone who doesn't know you, but I am someone who kind of knows you. Mm-hmm. And I remember when you had, I don't know if it was your second daughter or your first, but we were sort of texting about it a couple years ago. And you told me something that it was like, I mean, I know people, you were like, I know people complain about like babies all the time and like raising a new baby. But our girl is easy,
very easy.
So it seems like very Burkham way of like
relax.
One of your,
you know, exactly. You know me, I'm always blazing it.
Like your survival caveman mechanism is like not stressing out that much.
Exactly, ain't nothing wrong with that, right?
No, it's a beautiful.
Oh, it's actually very nice.
Virtue.
And then you're the guy that writes books about anxiety.
I did. That was, well, it was more like a pamphlet. But it made
the joke funnier.
It did make the joke funnier. And then people on Discord are going to be like, what the heck is Perry talking about? Mm-hmm. And we'll leave it at that.
And then, we could talk about it there.
But we don't get a Casey this week. We had the awkward pacing last week, which was mostly my fault. And then next week, I'm not going to be here because
you're getting married.
Well, because I'm getting married and we have a third host, so we don't have to think silly things like I should be on the show 4 days after I get married. I know that's what you did, which is why I'm teasing. But
after I was married, but we're coming up on 10 years. this next week. I think what date is your, the 4th?
The 1st.
Yeah, we're on the 6th, so we'll be wedding buddies.
Oh, yeah. My parents were also later in October.
So literally got married like 10 years, like in like minus 5 days from Jill and I.
That's
crazy.
That's very cute. And it's also pretty funny because we're like 2 or 3 years apart in age.
Yeah. That's just how it is, though.
Yeah. No, that's how it is.
Casey's the old man.
It is true. He's the weirdo. We can agree.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Anywho.
Anyway.
We got stuff to talk about. I'm excited to talk. Well, I don't know if I'm excited. I'm excited to talk about it. About one of these games that we've both been playing. We kind of had like a quick bite last week about it. But should we just jump right in?
Let's jump right. No.
Let's
dig in. We shouldn't
jump
right. Let's dig in. Shuffle Knight Dig. I feel like we both have good comedic timing, but I feel like we need to know each other for like 5 more years, and then we're gonna get the same beats down.
Oh no, we got it. No. So? This is good. This is all part of it. I think. No, we can't be perfect. I mean, well, I guess Casey and I are perfect, but me and you, our timing is differently perfect. It's wabi sabi.
It's like we're dancing beautifully, but we're stepping on each other's toes at the same time. A little bit.
Exactly.
In the dance context, not in the joke context. In the dance context.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Sorry.
Love
Shovel
it.
Knight Dig.
Shovel Knight Dig. I'm digging.
I am to way more than I did for Pocket Dungeon.
Oh, for sure. For sure.
Night and day.
Yeah, I would say that like Pocket Dungeon had a nice little, I mean, visually delicious, just honestly a perfect looking game, I would say. Like if you're going to, like a 10 out of 10. Gorgeous. Sound as well. I mean, just everything. Game design, like just no hook for me in that game. I could see where it got a little good and a little over-designed in my opinion. Again, this is like my humble opinion. This is what I'm on the show for. But like wonderful game in every other way besides, I think, the game design. And in many ways, I would say the same about Dig. In many ways. But I'm going to... That's kind of like my hot take that you're going to hear more about. But I want to hear Alex's take.
So I don't... I'm actually on the Steam page now because I usually like to pull up the Steam page or Nintendo page for the games I play just so I can have like a reference point and just have the copy to reference, trailers, whatever. And something that kind of surprised me was that the reviews for this game are currently mixed. And I have a good idea
are
why.
They?
Yep, mixed.
Oh, 16. I need to hear about this because I've seen nothing but 9 out of 10s.
The reviews are positive. The user reviews, or no, let me rephrase. The critic reviews on websites are quite positive, but the user reviews on Steam, just under 70% of 265 user reviews are positive, which is not amazing for a game that I think is quite good. But anyways, we can circle back. I want to give my take.
Yeah.
So Shovel Knight Dig is a $25... currently discounted until September 30th, 10% off, at least on Steam. It is a roguelike and a prequel that is set in the Shovel Knight universe. It is made by Nitrome with Yacht Club Games, and it's a platformer, kind of, in the sense that it's Shovel Knight, and it feels fairly close to how Shovel Knight feels to play, except instead of linear stages, it's a roguelike where you're digging into the ground through levels. It's about 3 levels and a boss per biome, I guess. There's different worlds. It seems like there's about four worlds, maybe some...
Well, you say different worlds, but it's all the same shaft, right? Just different segments, right? Okay, yeah.
That's what I mean. So you'll just keep digging down for, let's say, maybe a minute and a half, 2 minutes, reach the next level, fight a boss, and then switch to like a biome shift that has new enemies and new
aesthetics.
New aesthetics, but is all in the service of the same game. And it is a roguelike in the sense that it's quite hard. You're going to die fairly quickly, at least a few levels in, probably. And it's got the Hades thing where as you die and as you make progress, you'll unlock certain boosts that you can pick up while you're playing the roguelike. There will be some mini story bits that'll unlock. There you'll learn more about how to sort of manipulate the various pieces of the environment and the secrets to your advantage. And I haven't beaten it yet. I'm 90 minutes in, and my feelings on this are in two parts. One is I think it's quite a good game. It feels good. It feels like Shovel Knight. It's got a little more color to it than Pocket Dungeon, so I don't feel as exhausted by Shovel Knight as I did with Pocket Dungeon, for sure.
It has more color than Pocket Dungeon?
Not more color. I mean, it's got more pizzazz to me. Okay. Maybe I'm wrong, but I think I like the overworld, which we can. I'm curious if your opinion differs. But anyways, overall, I'm more energetically enjoying this in the level and a half I've gone through. I've gotten through one boss in most of the second world. On the other side, I haven't really been motivated to go back after this first 90 minutes, and I'm trying to figure out why. And
And
I think the reason is...
Maybe I can fill in, then we can do the thesis together.
Okay, how about you jump in, and then we'll circle back to that.
I'm going to dig in. So, yes, everything you said... Everything 100%. I resonate with the game visually, and the attitude, the player controls are fantastic. The character designs are perfection. I mean, just perfection. The the sitting by the fire at the beginning, which everyone's favorite part of Shovel Knight anyway. That's the start. You just go and jump right back in. You go over to the people, like the little camp of people to the left, and you can go to the right to the little place, and it's just a very cozy, a deliciously beautiful town that you can, or not town, but place you can walk around in. Gameplay feels really good. Bosses, the one boss I've been to is fun. Game is super hard. I find it hard, and so, and then yes, get to the point of this game. I want to love it so bad. And I do love many aspects of it. And it's a very incredible game in many aspects. But the one thing that I cannot get into is the gameplay loop. It's like, I'm going to compare this to Dead Cells, okay? Dead Cells and other, like even, there was a really cool mine... a roguelike game that came out like last year. It was a really cute little game. It was like a Zelda game, but you're going down into the mines and stuff. It was really good. It had this feeling of, oh baby, I made it this far. I can't wait to dive in with this new thing that I got, or with this new something, something. And you have that good feeling with Shovel Knight. The picking up the gems is super fun, right? I mean, like you can dig through, you find them, you can get the enemies, and the gem part is just fantastic, and you feel great. And like, when you die, you can go back and try to get your floating things again, of gems, your floating bags of gems, and that works great. My only problem is there's no upgrades. There's no reason for me to keep... I struggle to figure out what am I supposed to be doing here? Like, I'm going straight down.
Sorry to interrupt, but there are suits, I think. Like, I think there is some upgrade path.
Okay, but where is that?
And like, I haven't seen it yet.
Oh, see, that's what I don't... And I... Okay. It is not exciting for me. I've never liked this concept. It's okay, but I've never liked the concept of hey, unlock the ability to unlock it in the game. It's like, well, that's not fun. Like, I want to play with it right now. I don't want to have to like get the chance to play with this thing. And I get it, but the thing is, and that would be just fine if they had like, why can't I upgrade my health? Why can't I upgrade my shovel to hit harder? I can in the game when I stop at a shop and spend tons of coins that will go away when I die. That's very easily. And so there's all these things that's like, I just don't have this really fun. I get done and I go, well, I don't want to play that again. Like, that's the feeling I get. It's like, I don't want to play through the Mushroom Mines again. Like, seriously, I've played it through a dozen times and it doesn't feel as the gameplay loop just isn't there. It's not like Dead Cells. It doesn't feel like that. It doesn't hook me in. And it's really unfortunate, dude, because I love so many parts of it. And I was thinking through what I think this game would be amazing is if there was just levels. If this was just simply a level-based game like the original Shovel Knight, same exact mechanics, or a checkpoint system like SteamWorld Dig, where mm-hmm. when you go down and I hit a checkpoint, okay, I can go back up, I can heal up and go back down or whatever. I mean, I just think that there is something essentially wrong with the core gameplay loop that makes it where it does not have the hook in me to keep going.
And while I do concede the fact that I've never beaten a roguelike before, I've gotten very close in Hades, but I haven't really seen one of these through before, so I'm not the best person to judge this, but I've played enough roguelikes that I think while I understand the appeal to a roguelike for especially a small developer allows them to construct a very interesting, deep game with less demand maybe than a 20-hour artisanally designed action platformer, let's say. And I understand that maybe this always would have been a roguelike. And it's not a problem at all that this is a roguelike. The problem for me is that it's a very hollow one compared to other roguelikes. In the sense that the secrets all look basically the same after you've seen.
Yeah, it plays like a standard level-based game, but it's in a roguelike form.
Right, but so roguelikes do have that sort of procedurally generated thing too, and it wasn't a problem for me in Hades from sort of what I played. I think it's just this one. Like, it doesn't have that it factor that other roguelikes like Rogue Legacy or Dead Cells or
I think it's because Hades. The levels are very thoughtfully crafted in this, and that's a good thing, right? That is a good thing, except for I think they're too dense. So I think that like games like Dead Cells and Hades and other and like Goner, they have these rooms that are way more abstract and way more open for zippiness to get through and for chaos, where these are like designed like a really amazing platforming designed levels, which is, you know, you think, well, what's wrong with that? I don't know if there's anything really wrong with it besides the fact that I think it creates this problem. I think it creates the problem of playing. I've seen this before. I've seen this before where it's like, I've seen this exact same thing before. I don't want to do it again. It's almost like a puzzle. Whereas if the game was a little more open, a little more action-based, I think that might be, and I'm spitballing here, but I think that that might help the game design a little more. But yeah, dude, it's a shame for me because it's like, and I say it's a shame because I really like so, like, I like 90% of the game. I love, like, it's really good. Music, everything. But it's like, there is just that, I just wish they would have, again, and I'm saying this just to offer, like, a solution in my mind is, like, if it was just been a level-based game where you get through it, you go, do five levels, face the boss, go to the next one. Oh, I think this would have been a stone-cold classic. It would have been essentially a new Shovel Knight game, but it is that already. So I think that it would have been really cool. But again, I'm not hating on the, I hope it doesn't sound like I'm hating on it. It's just like the one thing where it's like, oh, like this game was so close to being like incredible, in my humble opinion.
Mm-hmm. Let's circle back before we switch topics into the Steam reviews, because you were curious about what people were saying.
Yeah, because one of the things that boggled my mind, if I may say so, is that this game got tons and tons of praise, and even like saying it's kind of short. And I was like, people are beating this game? Because I thought this game was stinking hard. I mean, I don't know. I thought like it, I think it's pretty tough. Like, how did you beat? How many bosses are you in?
I just beat one boss, and I found it pretty challenging too.
Okay,
but
yeah.
I think the way these games usually work is that there is a hump you usually get over, and maybe we just haven't
reached it yet. Yeah, that's it. Totally. That may be it. Yeah.
And this seems like a game that would very much have that. But here are what some people are saying. 69% of reviews are positive, which is still over 50%. But this person, Airman, said, great visuals and sound. Good accessibility options. A lot of work clearly went into this game. Great accessibility options, much like Pocket Dungeon. But little replay value. Most items are temporary and not very useful, and the few permanent upgrades it has are just armor and the ability to access more temporary and mostly undesirable upgrades. I feel no incentive to play again after beating it in a few short hours. This is after playing Rogue Legacy 2 for almost 200 hours. There are a lot of reviews, let's say, or the few that I'm pulling up. It's a lot of it's like content is pretty good, if not shallow, but there's not very much of it, which does seem true based on the fact that there are four bosses. And I do believe the idea that someone could beat this in 6 hours if they fully committed. I'm sure we could too, once we sort of got a better grasp of the game. But I also see that $25, $22.49 on Steam at least right now, but $25 kind of does feel like a big ask for what seems like is the content on display here. I think it would be a much stronger $15.
Yep.
But maybe I'm not fully qualified because I only played 90 minutes, but I at least can picture what the reviews are saying, even if they've played it more than I have.
And again, it's just kind of, yeah, it's like, it is a quality, you know, dense game, in my opinion. And that's what's funny is like you called it hollow. So I was trying to figure out exactly what you meant, but I think you meant in the game design, not in the game, like,
right. Not level not design visually. Necessarily. Correct.
And stuff.
Yeah, hollow as in shallow, I guess.
Sure. And yeah, it's shallow and dense. But again, I think is it 25?
25 is its launch price. It's also on Apple Arcade, which I think is a really good value proposition. I think this would be a great fiddle around. If you like it, you beat it. If you don't, you drop it and you don't feel any worse for wear. I'm curious how the control is.
Yeah. But it's, again, it's like, it's just, it's a tough thing where it's like at 25, it makes it a really hard sell for me. Like, and I think you're totally right. Mm-hmm. 15 is a better, for what it is. But anyway, I mean, quality wise, you know, it's a $25 game. Quality, like in like shininess, you know, like, in like quality of production wise, 10 out of 10. But yeah, it's just the game design. It's so funny. I was wondering where it was going to hit you. And it looks like we're the exact same place where it's just hard to get me pulled back into it. So, but anyway,
despite the fact that I technically on paper enjoyed every minute I've spent with this game.
Yeah, exactly.
I am also not compelled to come back.
Yep. And that's just the thing with games, you know, and I think that happens a lot. So speaking of games, I've been playing a game, or should I say planning a game, because it's Mystery History.
Mystery History.
All right, boys and girls, just me and Balix, Mystery History. I think this has happened probably at least once or twice. Just me and you.
Sure.
because it's usually
and I play into the game. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah. Ooh. No, I'm excited about this one. So the rules are, the mystery is, it's a game on a Nintendo platform. What is it, game? The history means it's on a platform before the Switch. Anything's up for fair grabs. You got the Wii U. You got the Game Boy. You got the Virtual Boy. Still haven't had one of those yet. Could be today. But Balix has 15 yes or no questions to ask me. I'm going to give him a hint after every 5 questions. It'll steer him towards it. If he wins, there is a prize.
Oh,
and,
man.
And I'll tell you what the prize is after, because the prize... I've said too much already. Okay. All right, Balix, start us off, boy.
Oh, man. I was going to, like, add a handicap to challenge myself, but now that there's a prize on the line, I am absolutely not doing that.
Good.
Is it on a handheld system?
No.
Do you consider the Virtual Boy a handheld system?
Do I? You know, it's funny, right? Yes, I think I would. Okay. I think I actually would. Yeah.
For legit, I was pretty much asking, is it a Virtual Boy game?
Yeah, no, I know. I know. Yeah. But it's a fun thing to ponder, because I feel like there's another, what's the word? There's handheld, and then there's console, but I guess handheld console, and then there's another word that it fits it better for what the Virtual Boy is, which is not a mobile or a portable. I guess it's portable. So I don't know. Whatever. No.
Okay.
It's not Virtual Boy.
Released after the year 2000.
Yes. Question number 4.
Was it released after the year 2005?
Yes. Question number 5, and then we have that hint.
Okay. Is it a Wii game?
No. Okay, the hint is Barack Obama was the president when this game was released.
I really wasted most of my questions. I was trying to be slick.
Yeah, is it released after 2000? 2001? 2002?
Okay. Published by Nintendo?
Yes, sir. Question number 7.
Is it a mini game or micro game compilation?
No.
Okay. Does it seriously, like, and you know what I mean by this, use both the Wii U gamepad and TV? Like, is the gamepad an important part of the experience?
Yes.
Don't you love that I didn't even ask if it was a Wii U game? I mean, it's not that clever. I mean, we kind of...
I think that was good.
Thanks.
Question number 9.
Sure.
I'm keeping tabs.
Is it a game in the greater...
Yes. Oh.
Mario... I would say franchise, or the greater Mario canon, which can include Donkey Kong or Captain Toad or 3.
I understand what you're saying. Wario, yes. Would be probably, maybe. No?
Sure.
Kind of, right?
Yeah, I consider that fair game.
I think so, but he's kind of the cutoff, because he kind of has his own, absolutely his own shtick. You know what I mean?
Yes, sir.
But
yes,
WarioWare definitely would fit in that, I think. But no, it's not.
Okay.
So question number 10, and then you get your second hint.
That actually helped me a lot, because that means it's not Captain Toad. That means it is not.
Yep, it's a great
Game
question.
Mario,
and you know what?
We
don't think we've ever gotten that question before. Like, usually, is it a Mario game? Which is, you know, like, because, you know, Captain Toad is not a Mario game. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So there you go. So it's like, yeah, that was a good question.
It's a great, okay, thank you. Trying to think. So if it's not a mini game compilation, it couldn't be Nintendo Land either. Which means, is it part of a franchise that is often dormant?
That's a good.
You know the exact spirit of the question I'm asking.
I would say no.
Okay.
It's not part of that. Yeah. Okay. Your second hint. This is a pretty big hint, to be honest. Okay. It's okay. It's a big hint. NWR gave this game a merciful 4.5 out of 10.
Is this a game that originally wasn't supposed to come to the US and probably shouldn't have when all said and done?
I mean, I don't know how I'm supposed to know that, but I don't think so. I'm going to have to give you an I don't think so. Because it's like, I don't know. I mean, you could say that, but.
Okay, there may be some context here that you may or may not know. Am I allowed to guess a game without it counting towards the 15 if it's done in good faith?
No. Nope.
Okay, so a
guess is a question.
Got it. Okay.
So I have four. You got left. Four. You got four, yep.
That Fatal Frame game I remember not being that bad. The one I'm keeping in my pocket right now is Devil's Third, for sure. That's the one I'm keeping in my pocket. And I think the third hint is really going to determine if I go with that. I don't think it's NES Remix, because I know that's a mixed game for some people, but I think it's way too good for anyone to give that a...
Oh, yeah, dude. NES Remix is incredible. I love them. You see that new Atari micro game collection coming out?
By the way, I have it for review. I have it for...
Are you serious?
Talk Nintendo review. Yes, sir.
Oh.
I'll tell you about it. Yep, I'll tell you about it after we hang up.
How did you get that? That's funny. I sent a review for that, too. That's funny.
Did you get one?
No, I didn't. No.
Oh, my God.
That's amazing. Okay. That's amazing. Well, all right, I'm excited to hear about it.
We'll talk about it after. Did it receive a disc release?
A disc release? Yes, it did.
Okay, so it's a real game.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. Trying to think. Nintendo. Because the thing is, were there really that many really bad Switch Wii U games?
Because
there's Devil's Third, which is the one that's really jumping out at me right now, but I don't want to spend that yet because it's too obvious. Is it in the Pokemon franchise?
Ooh. Nope.
Pokemon Rumble question. World was the other one.
I don't think they got a disc release, though, did it?
It may it have.
It got a pre-Amiibo Amiibo release, though, which is insane to think about. Remember those little guys? Those little NFC Pokemon? Blind packs?
Yep.
That's a weird game, dude. Weird.
Yeah. It's not very good. I played it. It is not that good.
Yeah. Oh, I know you played it.
I'm trying to do my sort of Tokyo Mirage Sessions was good. Then we're left with... God, this game was jumping out at me right now.
Mm-hmm. You're going to kick yourself.
No, because I still don't think it's this one. So, okay. Metroid, did anything come out? Tipping Stars was the other one, but I don't remember Tipping Stars being bad.
Tipping Stars was awesome.
Yeah, I thought
it was
people
really, really
liked
good,
it.
Actually. Probably peak of that series.
Right. So I think people liked that. Do you enjoy me thinking about this out loud?
I do. Okay? I love it. Oh, that's
okay.
It's way better than just thinking.
Right. I'm just silently pondering.
All right. It's not ARMS. No, ARMS isn't a 4.5 out of 10, even if it's a
or on Wii U game. Or released during.
Yeah, I know. 2016 wouldn't be Color Splash. I'm thinking Devil's Third, but I don't want to, because I'm going to have a guess after the 15, so I'm not using it on that.
Yep.
Nothing in F-Zero came out. No weird Metroid game came out. No Kid Icarus. No Luigi's Mansion. Mario and Sonic isn't published by Nintendo.
I believe it is. I think it is.
I think it's Sega published.
But I think that would count as a mini game collection.
That's true. Okay, thank you for steering me the right way, because I would have overthought the heck out of this. Okay, so I hope the listeners are enjoying me trying to remember the entirety of the Wii U library. and what Nintendo, what weird games Nintendo put out. Pikmin 3 was good. Nintendo Land was good. Devil's Third was a disaster, but I remember that Fatal Frame game not being bad.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I didn't play it.
Well, just take it. Just ask. You got two questions, right?
All right. I'll move things along. The fact that you put a prize, even though it could be nothing, is just making me care a lot more.
Isn't that great? I love it.
Yeah. Is it part of a character-focused series?
A character-focused series? Sure.
Well, like, for example, Art Academy, and if there was Brain Age game.
You could have just said, is it Art Academy?
Art Academy wasn't that bad either.
I was actually thinking about that one today. Yes, it is.
I think I know what it is. No, because Animal Crossing Plaza didn't get a disc-based release. But you know what did get a disc-based release?
What's that?
I'll phrase it as a question. Is it Animal Crossing Amiibo Festival?
Yes, it is. And the third clue was this game proved to be a commercial failure, selling only 20,000 copies in the first week of its release in Japan.
Oh my god. That was up against the wall.
In fact, it exclusively got a physical release. I think it's one of the only Wii U games that got, because it was only sold with the Amiibo.
It's the only Animal Crossing game I haven't played.
Now, and dude, don't. It is the worst game by Nintendo I've ever played.
Really?
100%. Listen to this. Listen to this, okay? The director, Aya Kiyogoku, I don't know, stated that the game was conceived as a vehicle for the creation of the first Animal Crossing Amiibo. Quote, honestly, we just wanted Animal Crossing Amiibo. We wanted the company to make Animal Crossing Amiibo, so that's why we made a game that works with them. I mean, they said the part they're not supposed to say out loud. And that's exactly what it is. It's a horrible, terrible game. It's a terrible game. It's hard to play. Like, the game is bad. Like, the board game is bad. Like, it's a Mario Party clone without mini games. In fact, Kiyogoku distinguished the game from Mario Party by stating that the latter is more focused, that Mario Party is on mini games, while Amiibo Festival is more of a board game. Oh my goodness, dude. It is horrible. You have to, did you know, like, to everyone, you know, if you're playing with a group of people, to move along the board, to roll the dice as, you know, whatever it is, you have to scan your Amiibo. onto the gamepad. So everyone has to have their Amiibo and reach over and hit the thing just to move. And it goes forward, and there is no, little to no skill. Like, little to no. It's all just basically rolling dice and getting what you get.
And if I remember right, there's not a ton of, like, animation or character or writing or the Mario Party.
It's disgustingly bad, honestly.
So here's something that's very interesting about this, because the name sounded familiar. Aya Kigoku, forgive my pronunciation. She was also the director of New Leaf and New Horizons.
Wow.
Which is, that's kind of the sort of like Miyamoto director.
I mean, she's the current manager of EPD, Entertainment Planning Development, which oversees Animal Crossing, Splatoon, and Wii Sports.
which I guess I'm not that like gender plays into it, but it's like, I actually like that there's a woman at the head of Animal Crossing, because Animal Crossing is more, I think the player base is more than 50% female and has been for a very long time. So I think that's where I had heard of her, because she had directed New Leaf, and I saw some interview where she was sort of talking about that very statistic. So that's sort of what I sort of associate, was because that's where I first heard it, was when she brought it up. But it's kind of a bummer that this person who made the two games that like solidified Animal Crossing's global dominance also is responsible for Amiibo Festival.
I know. And you know what's crazy? One of her first things that she did was a script writer on Four Swords Adventures and Twilight Princess.
That's interesting. That is cool.
Yeah. And it's funny, in her thing, it doesn't even mention this game. In her Wikipedia, it doesn't even mention it. In her, like, she's like she got back to the, she wanted to get back to the series roots for New Leaf in 2012. And then in 2015, she made a spinoff title called Happy Home Designer. And in 2019, like, it just skipped over it. So, yeah, I honestly, this game and Wii Music are, I think, some of the worst things that Nintendo's ever put out. And Wii Music isn't even as close. Wii Music has a good solid hour of good content in it. So that's why it's not there. And I wouldn't say Wii Music is like horrible, but it's like, it's not good. This is horrible. This is stay away from it. And it's just annoying. But, and it's, ugh, anyway. Fun stuff. Okay, now you know what your prize is?
Sure.
It's an Animal Crossing Amiibo, but it's not just anyone. It's one that came with my game, but that's not else. It's been chewed up by my dog.
Are you actually sending it in the mail to me?
Yes, I am.
Oh, my God. Good thing you don't have my house address now.
No, I'm not actually going to send you a chewed up, disgusting Amiibo. But I am going to send you an Animal Crossing Amiibo, new in package.
Can you chew it up personally?
Yes, I can.
Oh, very nice. How much is Amiibo Festival? It might actually be more affordable to just send me the game.
Oh, my goodness. I should just send you the game. I don't want to ever see it again. Dude, I remember, like, it was like, my wrist hurt by reaching over to the gamepad to play it. I mean, me and Jill were just like, I don't even know if we made it through a whole thing. It was like, this is just, ugh. And I was so hoping it would be good, you know? Ugh. Mm-hmm.
So something very interesting is that, don't look it up, but how much do you think you can get a new copy of the bundle for Amiibo Festival?
$25.
Really close, $28.50. But the open box, like new from Amazon, is $14.99, which includes the Digby Amiibo and original box, but no cards. Oh, and Isabelle. So there'd be two.
Yeah, there's two of them in there. Yeah.
Yep. Very nice. Very nice.
Yeah, I think Eleanor even didn't like the game, and that's the only Amiibo she's ever chewed up ever. Was the Digby.
Is Eleanor your dog?
Yeah.
Nice. Was that your actual quick bite, or did you have another game in addition to that?
No, that was it.
Okay, let me pivot into it. I was going to just do very quick, not even snap, Monkey Island thoughts.
Let's do it. I'm just kidding. No, go ahead.
Yeah. Well, no, but the fact that I didn't talk to you about it last week is like, maybe we should just snap for it.
Fine with me.
Okay.
Returning to Monkey Island, right? Isn't that what it's called?
Return to Monkey Island. Have you played the original before?
Nope. I haven't played any of them.
You seem like a guy who would have.
Sure.
For some reason. You know what it is? It has a very, like...
I'm a monkey man. Is that what you're saying?
Well, Casey made sounds last week.
Donkey Kong. Don't know if
he loves... He loves making his monkey sounds. No, so I talked about it with Casey last week. I played the first Monkey Island, Secret of Monkey Island, over the weekend. Really liked it. Then the second one, I played a bit of the second. Kind of had some of that old PC adventure game issues of, like, obtuse puzzles that are kind of annoying to solve.
Yeah.
Which the first game had, but I felt like it was worse in two. And then Return to Monkey Island came out. Ron Gilbert, one of the original creators who worked on the first two games, his sort of comeback to the series, and this is the sixth Monkey Island game. It is technically a sequel to all of them, but it mostly takes place after the second one. Like, there's a framing device that where the game starts with Guybrush Threepwood has a kid. But it's sort of like he's telling the kid a story and then goes back to right after the second game, I think.
Okay.
As I was telling Casey, it sort of retreads a lot of the same ground as Monkey Island. Like, it's a lot of the same characters as Monkey Island 1, with some comebacks from 2. The first two of the five chapters, or actually the first three, is it actually has a very similar pace to... the first Monkey Island, where you start on Melee Island and then you're in a boat for another chapter, and then the third chapter you're on Monkey Island. But that was where I stopped, and then after I sort of played more after telling Casey about it, I beat the rest of the game. Took about 8 hours to play the whole thing, so pretty reasonable for $20, I felt. Beautiful art that absolutely shines on the OLED. I know it's kind of controversial to some people because it doesn't look like an old PC adventure game, but there's no way in heck it was gonna. And the last two chapters are interesting because it has like a more open format where you're sort of traveling around different islands solving some larger puzzles,
and then, like, I don't even know what this game like is it a first person, like you go to as like Ace Attorney, is it?
Mm-mm. So it is a point-and-click adventure game. I should have said PC. I meant like old-school adventure.
Isn't that what Ace Attorney is?
Nope. Well, I guess in a sense, but that's first person. This is one of those where, like, if you're playing
third-person point-and-click.
Yep, on a computer, you're, like, clicking, and then Guybrush walks.
Gotcha. Okay.
And in the original Monkey Island, it was, like, every single object has push, pull, give, use... all those like sort of verbs like a lot of old school games do. This one simplifies a lot of it, where on Switch, one, you can use the control stick and buttons to move around. So it's not a straight up point and click adventure game in that way. Although it still is, you're just sort of walking towards things. And instead of having like a complicated system, there's no more than two actions for any given item. And it's very easy to interact with, and it's not remotely as hard as the old games were, but if you do get stuck, which you may, because it's still got some obtuse puzzles, there's a very good hint book that sort of is like, why don't you try doing this? It's like kind of a vague hint that may point you in the right direction. But then if you still don't get what you're supposed to do, it may tell you like, the chef's pot may have what you need. And then the third hint is like, use the pepper on this item or whatever. So it's actually progressive hints, which I love, because there is no worse feeling than playing an obtuse classic game and then having to go to a GameFAQs FAQ to figure out what you're supposed to do, or an IGN game guide. I feel like such a loser when I do that. People who do it aren't losers. It's a self-esteem issue on my part, but I always hate having to look up guides because it makes me feel like I didn't earn it, and then I get sort of sad. But when
that's obvious, right? I think that's just the truth, you know? Like, having to look up in a guide is just annoying in every sense. Right, it might be nostalgic now, but yeah.
Right. But yeah, and it's just, it's not, and there's nothing technically, and it's not your fault, really, whatever. But having the hints in-game and having them be so sharp and clever and written into the world, and also as part of the lore, like you're given it by
that's awesome,
lady at the beginning of the game, it makes you feel like, okay, I did need a little bit of help, or maybe a little more than a little bit of help, but my entire experience was self-contained within the game.
Absolutely.
That's so important.
Well, and the funny thing is, and there's a difference between also, like, there's a difference between if, like, we were playing it together and you texted me and I told you.
Right, that's better.
That's a different thing, too, where it's like there's something about that as well where I feel like that's not cheating. Like, why? Why is that not cheating? Like, if I get a hint from a friend, I have no idea, but it's just that's part of the deal.
I mean, that's how people played the first Zelda game back in the day,
yeah.
Right?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I remember, I had the Pokemon Red. I had, like, the game guide, like, with all the Pokemon in it and, like, the guide of the book, and I remember playing it, good stuff.
Yep. And the writing is pretty close to the old LucasArts games, and I'd say Psychonauts is a pretty good comparison, too, where it's, like, cutesy, definitely kid-appropriate, though jokes are sort
a little
of
edgy.
Built. Yeah, a little more for an adult mind. I think I use Shrek as sort of the... I know we joked about Shrek on this show, but Shrek was actually a very helpful point of reference for, like, the kids' movie that is written for an adult brain almost as much as it is for a kid brain. And it sort of has a similar...
Like, in an Adam Sandler kind of way. It's written for...
Sure.
But, like, then I'd say, like Pixar, like, the you know, like, A Bug's Life is, I would say, in the same camp, but not for, but for like a, I don't know.
I guess I almost like
trying to think of the opposite of Adam Sandler. It's
Pixar, but instead of the Disney tone, it's like the old school PC adventure game, Western adventure game tone. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
The humor's not as sharp. Like, it's a lot of like, knowing grins more than laughing out loud, but it's like, it's a very like wholesome, pleasant game with clever writing and some interesting stuff in there about what it means to revisit a series like this after so long, because the last entry was in like 2008, not counting a couple of remakes, and Ron Gilbert's last time with this game was like 1990. And there's a lot of references to how much time has passed. A lot of meta jokes in here. Good, I would say, way better for people who have played Monkey Island, even if it's just the first one. But if you did pick this up because you were just interested in seeing what this was all about, I think you would still get a pretty good feel for what these kinds of games are like, and you would probably still have a pretty good time.
Nice.
It's a good little package. It's which is what people say about me. I liked it. No, it's good. It's good.
So, what's your rating?
8, like a low 8. Nice. 8.0.
Okay.
Pretty good.
I can dig.
Yeah. A good little Devolver release. Last thing I want to talk about before we go into some listener mail to close the show, we're going to get to this poll time sometime in the future. that I had from 3 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. But the last game I want to talk about is a Nintendo that is called Cyberpunk 2077.
You know, a lot of people think that 2077 is the year that it takes place, but that's not true. Did you know that?
No, what is it?
It is... I'm trying to think of a joke, and I can't think of anything that a number like 20... It's the game director's pin number for his credit card.
That's pretty cute. I think the way the joke that I would have done is it's the year the game's finally going to be bug free.
But that would have been good. I could, yeah.
It's okay.
It's the year the game's going to finally be bug free. But
woo!
Anyway, but
he went there.
Okay. Give me some quick bites here.
Yeah, I played Cyberpunk 2077 the month after it came out in January 2021. It was a busted game. I played it on an Xbox Series X.
We talked about it on the show, too, as
probably
a guest.
Which is,
as a temporary guest.
I think it was when I was doing my my Vegas... what's it called when it's like you're staying in Vegas to do shows for a while?
Oh, yeah.
Residency?
Yes, residency, yes.
Yeah, when I was doing my residency before I joined full time. Yeah, I played it in January 2021. I loved it. I think the world is extremely immersive because it's very, like, hyper-realistic near future. It's got all the cyberpunk-y stuff, but it's also, like, gross and vulgar and, like, is sort of corporateness pushed to its extreme, which is kind of what cyberpunk is sort of commercialism, sort of taken to its absolute extreme, plus add some sci-fi goodness. And it was a very good realization of that. Keanu Reeves plays an amazing main character. He's not the main character, but I guess he's one of the main characters. He's super good in it. Tons of amazing side quests and a pretty good story. The problem was that it was so buggy. There were hard crashes. The police didn't actually have a real chase built in when the game launched, so it would teleport behind you like it was. They would teleport behind you like they were in Dragon Ball Z, kinda. Like it was just right. It was broken and unfinished. And so the last time I played this game was like in February or January of 2021, right after it came out. A lot has happened since then. There has been the several updates to fix a lot of the bugs. The next gen versions have come out. So what I'm playing is the Xbox Series X version, which is a variable 4K, 60 frames a second. Looks fantastic. Huge improvement. There's been some additions, like they sort of streamlined stuff. They the upgrade system has been completely revamped. Tons of AI improvements, tons of bugs squashed. They added apartments that you could get in addition to the one you get at the beginning of the game. Lots of and some new little bits of content. And everyone's playing this game again who played it when it came out. And the reason for that is twofold. One, the anime came out, Cyberpunk Edgerunners. It's very good. It's on Netflix. I recommend it, even if you hadn't played the game. But it's pretty bloody, so if you don't want something bloody, then don't watch it. Two is there's an expansion coming next year, and people like me want to replay it so they can remember the story for when the expansion comes out.
Okay.
So I've played 10 hours of this game so far. And I played 25 hours when I first played it, which was mostly just the story and some side stuff. But the side stuff is about 70% of the game. Tons of side quests that are detailed. One of them is like you got to go to different parts of the city and box people in an underground fighting rink, an underground like fight club situation. And the first people you fight are twins who have put on cyberware, so they share the same mind. And basically become one person in two bodies.
Right. I've seen that before.
So that's sort of, that's the first person you fight. There's a lot of like dark web, gross, grungy. It kind of goes harder from a content perspective than a lot of non-AO rated games I've seen. So it's quite edgy. I think some people think it's like corny edgy. I think it's pretty cool edgy. I've been loving it. The improvements have been great. 4K 60 is awesome. Everything's way more streamlined, so it feels like a fully finished game now. There's still some bugs, but they're minor, and I haven't had like a single crash yet, and it seems like they're still working hard on finishing it. And all I'm saying is that I'm having a blast. And it's the perfect... it'll be a segue into the listener mail, but it's the perfect game for right now. I'm guessing this isn't the kind of game that would speak to you, Perry, because you don't, independent of the content, you seem more of like a, you seem less of a first person, open world, gross, grimy GTA City kind of guy.
Yeah, sure. I'll take it.
Would you say that's kind of fair?
Sure.
I mean, do you have zero interest in this game?
Yeah, I don't have any interest in the game.
Okay. All right, moving on. No, yep. I won't leave it at that.
No, I don't mind hearing. I love actually hearing about it. I shouldn't say I have zero. I have zero interest in playing the game. I have tons of interest in the game. I think it's an interesting game. I just don't. Yeah, I don't care to play it. Yeah.
And there are, as you sort of build street cred and sort of gain XP and do more missions, there are cooler weapons you get to unlock. And a lot of the intro weapons are like, okay, there are shotguns and pistols with fire and electricity. And there's also weapons with like tracing bullets, so they'll swerve or whatever, which is fine. But once you get like way deep into the game, there are like mantis blades, which are like these swords that are attached to your hands. Because like it's all about like transhumanism, body modification, metal on top of human skin, body horror type stuff. And then my favorite are the gorilla arms, which are just these giant fists that you just attach to your body and allow you to I think do like shockwaves and just mess up enemies with your highly upgraded bare hands. And that's what I'm excited for.
That sounds like a lot of fun.
It is. It's a gross game, but I mean, I'm looking forward to Scorn, which is like a really nasty game. And all these games that sort of take you to the darkest part of the human psyche, which Cyberpunk does in kind of a pop sci-fi way, but still does it kind of effectively. It kind of speaks to me a bit. I like this kind of stuff. I don't know. I like the gore and all that.
I wonder you write anxiety books. You freak.
Well, I think it's the anxiety comes first and the interest comes after.
I'm just kidding. I'm totally kidding. You're not a freak. I just thought that would be really funny to say. Anyway,
I just hang up on the Zencastr, yeah. And then you feel actually bad.
Yeah,
you feel seriously bad.
Yeah, no, I would. Let's
you wanna? We got a single listener mail that I'm gonna segue directly from this into listener mail.
Did someone say listener mail?
Listener mail.
No.
Okay, this comes from Lakja. Yes, I'll read it. He says, "Dear Nintendudes, video games are always thought of as fun, but it's not often discussed how comforting they can be. After a very tragic event in my life, a game I didn't quite expect helped me through things was The Last of Us. I've never before or since experienced such a catharsis in playing as father figure, protecting his adopted child." I'll let you fill in the blanks there. My question to you guys is, have you ever found a comfort in an unlikely game during a difficult time in your life? Feel free to share as much or as little as you'd like. Sincerely, Lakja.
Very much appreciate the email, Lakja.
Absolutely. So the question, just I'll restate it. Have you ever found a comfort in an unlikely game during a difficult time in your life? So I will be honest in saying I don't think I really have. I've had a very blessed life where I haven't had too much tragedy. And I know that might sound crazy. And my point being that when as a kid, I didn't really experience tragedy. As an adult, I have. A few years ago, my father-in-law passed away. And it was like the worst week ever, you know? But since that was like something I was experiencing with my wife, that was it. You know, we didn't play a video game where I feel like if we had, I would have had an answer for that. But I just will say that because I know this exact feeling is we were watching the Carbonaro Effect. Have you seen the Carbonaro Effect?
Mm-mm. What is it?
It's a great show. It's just a fantastic show. It's a hidden camera magic TV show. So it's a guy that does magic in front of people and they don't realize it's magic and they freak out and it's hilarious. Like, it's really good. Anyway, it's on True TV. I think it's still on. I don't know. But that show, it was like the one, a total, you know, like that overused term at one point, escapism or whatever, right?
Yeah.
Have you heard that? Total, exactly what it was. It was like, you know, us sitting there like escaping to a different world, you know, and it was that comfort, like totally. And it was that feeling of like hope. And like, that's definitely what it was. So anyway, so that's something but I really haven't had a comfort. I've had tons and tons of nostalgic games, like where it's like, oh, bring me back to like the summer of, you know, of like 2005, you know, that kind of thing. But anyway.
Let me say this. I've been blessed to not have to have too many of these stories, let's say. I'm still young, of course. It's
He's still a baby, ladies and gents.
Yeah, yeah. Well, next week I'll be a husband first and a baby second.
Last week I had to take Balak to the hospital for croup. Anyway.
So, okay, I'll give two examples of how I'm connecting to this. So right now, the reason I'm playing Cyberpunk 2077, as opposed to what I typically do and barrel through new video games, is that I need something low maintenance and dense that I can just commit to for a while. Because all this wedding stuff coming up, I'm super stressed. I got the honeymoon next week. I need the hour or two I have a day to get lost in something that I don't have to bring my typical, let's say, game anxieties, media anxieties to, where I need to beat this because I have all these games to beat. And I want to play this next. I want to play this next. And I want to play this next. This has given me an opportunity, one, to shut that down because I'm playing something I've had before. And two, because it's such a gigantic game and I'm focusing on the side quests, I'm not stressing out about beating anything at the moment. I'm just sort of giving myself this one little escape. The other thing I'll say, and this is like, I'll try to phrase it in a non-heavy way, but what you were referencing was that I had like a pretty serious bout with OCD in 2018. Something that was like indisputably the most difficult thing I've ever had to go through was dealing with like real arsed OCD. Dominated my life for months and months and months. Basically, I had no mental health experience and then basically had to become...
And then you wrote the book on it.
I wrote a book because I picked up some tips and tricks that really helped me out. But I had a really tough time because the thing is, when you have like particularly bad anxiety, and OCD is an anxiety disorder, you really get in your own head, you're overthinking, and you can't get anything done. And when you can't get anything done and you're not active, then you get depressed, which makes it hard to do things. So I was kind of in this like sort of negative cycle. Eventually I got out of it and it took me a couple years, but I'm I feel really good now. But for the few months where it was intense, video games were invaluable. Not any one specific game. And in fact, my mind was in such a state that I actually, like, I need to replay, like, Red Dead Redemption 2 and Judgment, because I don't remember a thing about them by this point. I played them during that period. But video games are the kind of thing where you don't need to bring too much of yourself into, and it makes you feel like you're engaging with the world way more than you may be ready to at a given moment, if that makes sense.
Sure.
And so it kind of, and but it's also escapism. It helps you get lost. But there are also so many great narratives in games where if you find something that identifies, that you identify with you, it can really help. So although my stuff was serious, but not like, and I would even describe it as severe, but I'm fine now. I now have a lot more empathy for people who are, let's say, in even harsher situations than I was. And they're like hooked on video games. 'Cause you know what? Like, people don't mention the fact that, like, video games probably keep a lot of people going that probably wouldn't still be going in a world without video games. Or like various media like that, which I think is sort of the beauty of interactive, immersive entertainment. And I'm not saying that about myself per se, but I'm saying I'm sure there are a lot of people who are having a tough time, and having a video game or a movie or a show or a book or whatever they're looking forward to is keeping them going. Even if we're talking in a social sense and not in like a dire, dark sense, for like way longer than we would in a world without these entertainments. And I think that's probably an underspoken side of this media, which is kind of a little, it's sort of on topic, sort of off topic, but I guess I was sort of talking about my experience, and it's like,
it's 100% on topic. Yeah,
man, if I didn't have video games, like, it would have been tougher than it was. And it makes me be like, wow, for people who are having a really tough time right now, people having the next Pokemon game to look forward to, like, it could save their life, right? Or the next, or knowing there's a new Mario game.
Yeah, I would agree with the caveat of, I think that there needs to be a healthy balance of video game to real life.
Agreed, and thank you for bringing that up. No, that's an amazing point to counter with.
But yeah, I know exactly, but I think you're right. I think it is something where it's pretty amazing, right, that this video game that isn't a real, like, that isn't a real relationship in the real life, but like we're all looking forward to Breath of the Wild 2, for instance. And that's a really neat thing. Or and that's just on a very casual level, but you're right. Like there might be someone that their biggest hope in their life right now is Pokemon Scarlet, you know? And not like funny. I mean, it is funny to just say it like that. But you're right. Like what you're saying, where it's like, because they have tragedy, because a lot of people, like, luck is a real thing. And like bad luck and good luck, you know, some people are just down and some people are up, and video games can be something with people with bad luck.
1,000%.
And with people with good luck, of course. So, absolutely.
And let me add the tiny disclaimer, that, like, obviously not a substitute for getting fresh air according to your ability, not a substitute for getting help according to your ability. Always ask for help if you need it. Always get exercise and fresh air and take
care
of yourself.
Is that part of your pamphlet?
Kind of, yeah.
I'm not trying to be funny, by the way.
No, I know. I'm trying to, I'm breaking the ice a little bit. No, but I'm saying, like, always take care of yourself, of course, but with the addendum of, like, if people aren't even capable of doing that, let's say for a short period of time, thank God for Breath of the Wild too, right?
Yeah.
Like to sort of bridge the gap, let's say, until they're ready. So
absolutely.
Always pro self-care and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. Hope that was a good answer, Lodge. I didn't mean to bring it down.
No, that's great. I think that, you know, to be blunt, I think it's nice to have like legit conversations on the podcast sometimes, you know, not always memes and not always dank memes.
Casey's here. He's just like, he's crazy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Exactly. That's true. You know what? This would have been a completely different podcast if Casey was here, wouldn't it? Casey would have made a joke. I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
Casey like gets deeper than any of us have ever gotten, like out of nowhere.
No, Casey's a sweet boy when he needs to be, but mm-hmm. never when he doesn't need to be.
Very, very well said. Anyway, yeah, thanks. You know what's funny is one of the dreams I've always had for Talk Nintendo is I've always wanted to do an episode that was framed just like a Frasier call-in radio thing, where in a way, not that we were like doctors, you know, like not that like we'd have, but the idea of like kind of a call-in show where people would come on with their like video game problems, like, or anything like that, or like a question kind of just like that that we could talk about. And I thought it'd be kind of fun, and we can redo the Talk Nintendo theme song, like with like as like the jazz, like with the vibes, just like Frasier. Anyway, that's gonna happen at some point. It's gonna be great.
Yeah, we can do it on Twitch. We can have Lemonade call in. Hello.
Well, I'm thinking,
how do I get more viewers on my streams?
Yeah, he's British. Lemonade's British. Yeah,
I didn't have a Strayin one on hand. I apologize, Lemonade.
It's okay. It's good. Okay. They're all the same. Australia and here's a hint. Or here's a little nugget of wisdom I learned. Australia and England, it's the same thing. So, anyway, anyway, so I think that'll do it for the show.
Sure.
All right.
Let's call it. I gotta get married in a couple days.
Woo-wee! That's exciting, man. Mr. Alex Kulafi has a pretty good ring to it. Yes, you could. You can find us over on Twitter, I believe, at Talk Nintendo Pod. That's Talk Nintendo,
POD.
And you can help support Nintendo World Report at Patreon.com/NWR. That's Patreon.com/NWR. And then you can send us emails like Lockjaw did at TNPMailbag@gmail.com. That's TNPMailbag@gmail.com, and send us good listener mail like Lockjaw just did. I dare,
but
someone,
not heavy, but not too heavy.
You can send us heavy. We just might not talk about it on air. But
that's true.
You can send whatever you want. Anyway, and I will say, congratulations, Alex Kulafi, on the marriage.
Thank you.
And I hope your wedding has just a couple of problems in it to break things. Here's the thing. It's not going to be perfect. And if it is, it's kind of weird. You kind of look like a little weird thing that happened during the ceremony.
Actually, no, I'm not going to get into this on a podcast. Are you insane? Are you insane?
No, no, I'm Perry. No, Burko.
He's crazy. Listener mail.
We do have
I'm a listener mail. That was better. That was better than a single chuckle. I'm sorry. Unless someone's made it on the last 300 episodes, that joke.
What was better? What was the joke?
It was, I'm a listener male, like M-A-L-E. Oh, yes. Yeah. Okay, sorry. Yes. Sorry. What? Okay. It is time to podcast with Perry
and no Alex.
Oh, wait, no. Okay, we have to do that again. I didn't know you were gonna. Okay. It is time to podcast with Perry
and Balix.
Boodoo. Nice. I knew you were recording. I wanted a sexy little stinger on there.
Mm-hmm. You know how I like it.
Oh, yeah. Sexy and stingy.
Stingy.
I think you gotta get that checked out.
Stingy, yeah.